Oh, good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I hope you've had a good week. We've had a little, the rain has relented a little upon us, and we're grateful for that. And everything's green and beautiful, and we just praise God for life itself, especially for this day as we can come and to worship and to praise God. Glad you're here. I'm going to complete a little series I've had on Psalm 23 in just a moment. But first of all, we need to keep our vision before us. So if you'll bring that slide up, you remember our vision? It's real simple. It's one sentence: to see God's name become great in all the nations. Can we say that together as a church? To see God's name become great in all the nations. And we're going to do that by serving God, engaging the community, and growing together in Christ. And really, I believe every Christian church's vision statement can be boiled down to what the Lord said in Matthew 28. And that is, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. That's a great promise, isn't it? I'm with you even unto the end of the age. And boil all that down to one word: church, go. Go. So we want to be sure to fulfill that. Thank you for working with me on that. Now back to Psalm 23, standing on the promises. And today we're going to look at today and tomorrow. And these are encouraging verses. That's probably why Psalm 23 is one of the most popular verses among all Christians. And many times you ask a Christian what's his favorite verse, and he'll go to Psalm 23. And you know, it's only six verses, isn't it? But it gives us a dozen pictures of the goodness of God. And Psalm 23, it's all about the goodness of God. And we're at the last of this series. So if we could, let's read Psalm 23 together. They'll bring it up on the screen. And let's just read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to look at that very last verse, verse 6 today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, he's speaking of heaven there at the very end, okay? That's future, right? But really, we have a future here on earth, don't we? I mean, we have tomorrow and all, we hope, many years to come. But anytime we start worrying, we need to remember the last portion of the verse of Psalm 23. If you have difficulty about the future, or if you get anxious or fearful or worried about the future, you need to remember this last verse that David wrote here, because this last verse, I believe, gives us three reasons that we never need to fear the future if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at these three, then I got a couple of things I want to share with you about living for today, but we're going to start with the future first, okay? No need to worry about the future. No need to be anxious about the future. Why? Number one, God is watching over me. God's goodness is watching over me. The Bible says, remember, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. His goodness will follow me. Did you know that God in his goodness is always paying attention to us, each and every one of us? That we've never had a second in our lives that God was not watching over us. Why is that? Because, as I mentioned, this psalm is all about the goodness of God. And the goodness of God means that God is a good God. Psalm 145, verse 20 says this: the Lord preserves, or you could translate, the Lord watches over all those who love him. So God's goodness is watching over you. And not only does he watch over us, but he protects us. We're protected, and I don't think we'll know till we get to heaven. We have been and are protected from thousands of things we don't even know about. Accidents that could have happened that we could have gotten into. Problems that we've created or could have created. Decisions that we could have made, and yet God protected us from those. How does God watch over us? Well, there's many ways, but I know one in particular. Hebrews tells us this, that his angels are ministering spirits for you and I. The Bible says that God created angels to watch over us. I believe angels are real, don't you? I've been a Christian, however, for many years. But I've never had personal contact with an angel. I've never talked with one face to face, except for Jane. I need to throw that in there. But out of all the thousands, perhaps millions of angels, God has made one of their functions of protecting me and you. Psalm 91:11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. We don't know how many times we've been helped by the goodness of God. But this is why God says, surely my goodness will follow you all the days of your lives. Now what does that mean? Hear me out here, okay, because even three times this week, I've either heard about or talked with some folks, and I've been there too. Man, they're wondering why God has allowed this in their life. It's a tough time. It's a tough issue. So don't ever take Psalm 23, don't ever take the last portion of Psalm 23 to mean that only good things are going to happen to you, okay? Because you'll agree with me. A lot of bad things happen, right? Some bad things have happened to many of us, or disappointments, and on and on. But what the psalm does mean is that God will ensure. He will ensure that good will come out of everything. Why? Because that's his promise right here. I can't control what happens to me and my family, and you can't either. But I can be sure of this. If the Lord is your shepherd, God will always bring good out of bad. You remember Romans 8:28? What does that say? We know that in all things, God will work together good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, all things do not work good for everybody, okay? If you're going in the opposite direction of God, if you are ignoring God's plan for your life, if you're not living in God's love or trying to live in his love, all things aren't going to work together for good, because God has promised good for those who love him. Secondly, God's grace is working in me. While goodness is working around me, it's all over me, watching out for me, God's grace is working in me. The Bible says, surely not just goodness, but his mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Now, how would you define mercy? What would you tell me mercy is? I believe mercy is one word as well. Mercy is grace. But it's grace in action. Isaiah 60:10 says this. God says, in my favor, I've had mercy on you. In my favor, I don't have to do this, but I've had mercy on you. And so what's the difference then between God's goodness and God's mercy? God's goodness is when God gives me what I don't deserve. That's his goodness. That's his grace. God gives me what I don't deserve. I don't deserve all the blessings I have in life. I don't deserve his faithfulness to me. I don't deserve salvation. The air I just breathe, I don't deserve that. Most of the things in our lives are just simply gracious gifts from the hands of God. Everything that we have in our lives is a gift from God. Grace is when God gives me what I don't deserve. But then, what's mercy? It's the exact opposite. Mercy is when God doesn't give me what I do deserve. All the times I've been mean, all the times I've been wrong, all the times I've failed, I've flubbed up, I've made mistakes, all the times I've been self-centered, I deserve punishment for that. I deserve discipline for that. If God gave me everything I deserved, I wouldn't be standing before you right now. But goodness, God gives me what I don't deserve. Mercy, God doesn't give me what I do deserve. Both of these, God says, they're going to follow you all the days of your lives. And because God's mercy is following us all of our lives, it means that I can come to God with anything. I can come to Him with any problem, with any fault, any failure, any sin, anything in my life. I can come to God with that. His mercy is constantly following us. There's never a moment that God is not showing mercy to us. We can always come to Him no matter what we're going through. That in itself can take away a lot of our fear. Hebrews 4:16 tells us this, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of God, the throne of grace." Why? That we can find mercy and we can find grace to help us in our times of need. I don't know about you, but I don't always do the right thing. Do you? We need forgiveness all the time. We need God's mercy all the time. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that God's goodness and God's mercy will follow us all the days of our lives? That's because He's a good God. Now, let me give you a couple illustrations about goodness and mercy, okay? The Bible begins, Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't know how many cowboy movies you've seen, but usually you'll see cowboys when they're driving cattle, they drive them from behind, okay? The cowboys drive the cattle from behind. They are pushing the cattle forward. But with sheep, you lead sheep. The shepherd is out front, in front of the sheep. He's walking with his rod and his staff, and all the sheep, they're following the shepherd. But at the back of the flock of sheep, you have the shepherd, you have the flock of sheep, and then you got a couple little sheepdogs at the very back, okay, of all the sheep. And those sheepdogs, they're always nipping at the heels of the sheep. They're always pushing the sheep. They're making sure that the sheep don't run off into the ravine or to get lost or to get hurt. And these two sheepdogs, mercy and goodness, they always keep us on track in order to follow the shepherd. Let me give you one more picture. We're seeing that once again in our lives, aren't we, Jane? A mom who takes care of little children, a toddler perhaps. You remember when your children were small, or you have small children now? How many messes did they make a day? How many messes did they make? If you have a small child in the house, you're going to have 1,006 messes every day, okay? That mom is always walking behind that child, picking up all the messes that they're making. For you and me, for me, I have no idea how many messes I've created that God's had to clean up. Why? Because God's goodness and God's mercy were following me. Just imagine. God has picked up more messes in our lives than we could possibly even think of. Why? I keep saying it. Because God is good. And He's merciful. He gives us what we need, and He doesn't give us what we deserve. Goodness and mercy, He says. My goodness, my mercy, they're going to follow you every day of your life. When we fully understand that, friends, when we fully understand that, then we can face today and we can face tomorrow and we can face all of our future, and all of a sudden our fear level goes down. We go, yeah, okay, so what? I don't know what's going to happen next week, much less next year, the next 10 years, but we can know this. His goodness will be with us. And He'll be bringing good even out of the bad stuff. I know God's mercy will be with me. He's going to be forgiving me. There's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And with all the bad stuff that's going on, what do we need to worry about? What are we afraid of? God's goodness and God's mercy will be with us all the days of our lives. Thirdly, then we're going to look at today. God's glory, listen to this one. God's glory is waiting for me. God's glory is there and it's waiting for us. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then what's going to happen? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that little word, and. and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That little word and, it connects today with tomorrow. It connects today with the future. Even after we've lived a life of blessing here on earth, it's not the end. It's not all over. The psalmist says, David wrote, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a big ending, is it not? That means I don't really have to fear death. That's the number one fear that people all over the world have, is fearing death. We're going to heaven if we're in Christ. Isn't that good news? God has saved the very best for the last. And if we love and we know Jesus Christ, if the Lord is our shepherd, it's only going to get better. Because even if I have a tough life here on earth, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now David added this. The Holy Spirit led him to add these words because it's so important. What makes heaven heaven, huh? Now we can come up with a lot of things. You know, the clouds, the streets of gold, mansions, all of those kind of things. But the biggest one, I believe, is this. The biggest reason, the biggest description of heaven is it's the home of God's full glory. And I can never begin to describe what that glory looks like, okay? All I can say is His glory is His character. How would you describe God's character? It's all based on who God is. We can't even imagine the details of heaven. We get a few sneak peeks of what heaven is like in the Bible, but the truth is none of us can even understand how wonderful heaven is because we don't have the brain capacity for it. Every description that we have is so inferior as to what heaven's going to be like. They're all just metaphors. We can think of the greatest, most beautiful scene you've ever seen on earth. Guess what? It's still fallen creation. You multiply that by a trillion, zillion, whatever, times. A place where there's no sin and no sadness, no sorrow, no suffering. That is heaven. We can't imagine all the details, but we do know this. It's going to be glorious. Why? Because God's glory is going to be there in all of its wonderful details, in all of its full completion. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no mind has ever thought of or imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. I will dwell in His house forever. So what are you afraid of? You're going to be in a better place in the future if the Lord is your shepherd. So now, what are the implications of what I've just shared with you, of these truths for us right now, for today? God's goodness is watching over us. God's mercy is working in us. God's glory is waiting for us. But what is that going to mean tomorrow, on Monday morning, for me and you? Well, I just shared the antidotes for your three greatest fears, and if you understand them, then you can fully grasp what I'm trying to tell you this morning. If you do that, you'll have, I believe, some new confidence in your life. We don't have to be so anxious about the future or what we're dealing with, because God's goodness and His grace and His mercy and His glory are all involved tomorrow morning and the rest of our lives. But let me give you three implications about how we can apply all this in living today, all right? Some of this I even said last week, but I believe it's so important. Some of it deserves repeating because the Bible repeated it many times. Number one, today, tomorrow morning, I need to be grateful and I need to be generous because God has been so good to me. I'm living on planet Earth, and I need to be gracious, and I need to be generous. Has God been generous with you? Then God expects us to be generous, and He expects us to be grateful with others for the rest of our lives. So my first response to God's goodness in my life is, to God's mercy and His goodness, should be gratitude, and my second should be generosity. Let me show you some verses once again. Psalm 118:29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love, that can also be translated mercy. For his mercy, how long does it last? The Bible says it endures forever. There's goodness and there's mercy right there in that verse. His goodness is good, and his mercy, it never runs out. Praise God. Continual mercy deserves continual thanks. We all need to develop for the rest of our lives an attitude of gratitude. And when we give thanks to God, we'll begin to love God more because we'll begin to see all of his blessings in his life. Hebrews 12:28, let me give you one of the most important blessings. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews writes, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, okay, it's unshaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer up to God an acceptable service and reverence and awe. I'm zeroing in on that one word, unshaken. What's he talking about? Unshaken means to me, in what we're talking of, unshaken, I don't need to be afraid of that. Unshaken means I can't lose that. Unshaken means for you and me, we can't lose our salvation. Isn't that good news? It's unshakable. We just need then to develop a daily habit of being grateful to God for everything, especially including his forgiveness. The second response, God says, is we need to develop generosity. God is speaking, okay, you're beginning to recognize how I've blessed you, how I've been good to you. Now, you need to pass that on to some others. I've been good to you. I want you to be good to others. I've been generous with you. I want you to be generous with others. Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received. You've gotten all the free gifts. Freely give. Give them away. The more giving you are, I promise you, the more you give, the more at peace you're going to be. The more confident you're going to be. The less anxious you're going to be. The less fearful you'll be. The Bible actually confirms this, that generosity is another antidote to fear and anxiety and stress, because generosity gets to focus off of us onto other people. Do you want good or bad to you, or bad to come to you in your life? And you'll say, well, I want good to come to me. Okay. Here's how you can have good come to you. Psalm 112, verse 5. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends. Did you catch that? God says it's going to be well with you if you're a generous person. Generosity in every area of our life, our talents, our treasure, our money, our motivations. Generous with our praise. Generous with compliments. All of that we can give away. You want to be confident? You want to be fearless? Become more generous. Let's do a little experiment. I want to challenge you, and this is for me as well, okay? Let's see if we can do it. Let's see if we can get through the rest of the day doing this, okay? How about for the next 30 days? The next 30 days, we make a commitment together. I'm not going to complain about anything. Ooh. You want to try it? This means yes, this means no, this means, I don't know about that. Try it. Try it the rest of the day. Try it tomorrow. Now this may be a problem, okay? It's like when we get up in the morning and we make a list of things that we're grateful for, let's say. We're a little blurry-eyed and we can't even think about what we're grateful for. So we begin just saying things. God, I thank you for my dog. I thank you that I woke up. I see the sun. Okay, God, thank you for the sun. I saw the moon when I went to bed last night. Thank you for the moon. Thank you for the coffee. Yeah, and thank you for my spouse. But what about all the spiritual blessings God has poured into your life? Remember those. Lastly, and I want to be quick on these things here, okay? I must be gracious to everyone because God has been gracious to me. God, as I said, wants us to pass on the good things. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has also forgiven you. You know what? God's cut us a bunch of slack, hasn't he? Who are you still holding on the hook? Who do you refuse to forgive? Who do you refuse to let off? God's been gracious to me. God has forgiven me. Then I need to be gracious to you, and I need to forgive you. You know what being gracious is, don't you? It's another name for love. The more gracious we are when we're gracious to somebody, the more loving we are. And love, the Bible tells us, that's the antidote to fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in what? Love. For perfect love will cast out fear, because fear, it involves punishment. Even when you don't forgive, you're holding it over somebody's head. You're trying to punish them. But fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfect in love. Fear means I don't think God will be merciful or grateful. He's going to punish me. Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not matured in love. Fear is focused on us. Love is focused on God and others. It's gracious. Now, how do you know when somebody doesn't understand the grace of God? It's real easy. They're not gracious to anybody else. Ungracious people are ungraced people. They don't realize how much they've been forgiven, so they want to hold it over everybody else. If I don't feel forgiven, if I feel guilty, if I feel ashamed, I certainly don't want you to feel forgiven, because I don't want you feeling better than I do. But if I remember how much God has forgiven me, and I remember how much God has wiped out my guilt and wiped out my shame, I can be pretty gentle and I can be pretty gracious with you because of what he's done in my life. You may have a mother or a father or a mother-in-law or a father-in-law or a friend or a neighbor or a brother or a sister or somebody at work or at school, and they can't let anybody off the hook. I believe it's because they feel guilty, and as long as they don't feel grace, they're not going to feel gracious. They're not going to be gracious. But the more grace you and I feel, the more that we know that we've been forgiven, the more gracious we're going to be with other people. So I've got to stay gracious, and I need to stay generous because God has been good to me. He's been merciful to me, and I need to stay gracious to everyone because he's been gracious to me. Here's the last one, and we're going to be done. To live for today, to live fully, and to live fearlessly, I need and I must live my life for the glory of God. Why? Because one day, God's going to share his glory with me. Right now, we live for the glory of God. But one day, we're going to receive the glory of God forever and ever and ever, because he's going to share it with us in heaven. So how do we do this today? How do I live for God's glory at work? How do I live for God's glory at school? How do I live for God's glory in my neighborhood? How do I live for God's glory with my family? Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, all you got to do is let your light shine before men in such a way that they'll see your good works and glorify your fathers in heaven. So what happens when we live for God's glory? It will open up our lives to more of God's goodness, to more of God's mercy, to more of God's grace, to more of God's glory in our own lives. 1 Peter 2:3, Peter, the disciple, wrote this, seeing that his divine power has given to us everything pertaining to life and to godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So let me wrap it up. When we think about the future, when you think about the next 6 months, when you think about the next year, when you think about the next 10 years, the rest of your life, how do you see that? What picture do you paint when you look at that, huh? Is your mind filled with doubt, confusion? Do you have anxiety, fear? Are you worried about it? then it means that you're not focused on the last part of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe those words is the antidote to fears about the future and for today. Now, I know we don't get to choose what's going to happen to us, especially for the rest of our lives, but we do get to choose this. We get to choose how we respond. We can face the future as a cynic, as a critic, as a pessimist, as a doubter. We could face the future experiencing the worst and expecting the worst, or we can face it being ungrateful. We can face it being stingy. We can face the future being ungracious to other people, and we can live for the glory for ourselves. Or we can face our futures with gratitude and generosity and graciousness and the glory of God as we've seen in this psalm. Which one of those, which set do you think is going to make you happier and more successful and will bring the rewards of heaven? It's amazing how different we feel about life when we begin to live in the goodness of God. And we begin to live for the goodness of God. So, closing this series, let me ask you this. Who's your shepherd? That's the question of the hour, is it not? Who's your shepherd? Are you your own shepherd? Who's running your life? Who's managing your life? Who's the boss of your life? Who is your shepherd? If you are thinking, I'm my shepherd, then goodness and mercy, God's goodness and mercy aren't following you. And you perhaps would not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These words are for people who are in the flock, who could say, I'm a sheep in God's family. The Lord is my shepherd. And when we can say that, we can say with confidence, and I will one day dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, now I want to thank you for these great, great words. The favorite passage of the majority of people, of Christians. We thank you, God, for all the promises, for all that you said here, and especially today. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And they're just like those two little sheepdogs, God. They keep following us and pushing us, Lord, directing us, keeping us safe. God, we thank you. Thank you, too, for the promise that, Lord, by faith in Christ, we can live in your house forever and live in your glory. But until then, Father, I pray that, God, we can allow your glory to flow through us to others, that they can see you in us, that our light will shine. And now, Father, bless this time as many of us perhaps need to make decisions this morning. We're saved, but, God, we're not letting much glory flow through. It's hard to be gracious and good and giving, whatever it may be. So, God, deal with us in that. Lord, I pray now, Lord, your Spirit will have his way in Jesus' name. Amen.